Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We welcome in Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, next opportunity you get to talk to Baker, I suspect you'll be grilling him on what he saw on March 3rd, 2021.
Actually, you have to catch me up on that.
Well, he tweeted late last night, Mary Kay, that he 100% saw a UFO over Lake Travis.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Well, yes, that will be probably high up on the list then. That's at least a lead note.
Now, he has also mentioned in the past that he is a big believer in Sasquatch. And all I asked the question was, if this were Kyrie Irving, what would fans be saying? But because it's Baker and he now has credibility with the fan base, they're going to believe him. So I wonder what the fallout is going to be. And that's why I asked if you're going to be grilling him on all this.
Well, maybe that was just a really, really strong bottle of wine or something that they were drinking. Who knows?
Could be part of it, too. Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. All right, you got a chance to listen and ask both decision makers, the main decision makers with the Cleveland Browns, influential as they may be, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. What did you walk away from getting a chance to listen to them? I know sometimes it's got to be, encrypting whatever code there might be in what they're discussing, but what did you take away from the last few days?
Well, first of all, they just were not very forthcoming at all about much of anything. And I'm sure you guys noticed that, right? I mean, we really didn't get very many concrete answers about much of anything, really. We didn't walk away with, four or five headlines, knowing exactly what they're going to do with this guy or that guy. So, you just have to keep digging to sort of try to figure out what might happen. And you also have to think very critically about what they can and can't do. They're just not right now going to be telling other teams about their plans, and they're certainly not going to be broadcasting it in the media.
Mary Kay, it would seem like the person they could talk about, is Baker Mayfield. It seems like, other teams usually come out and give a vote of confidence to the quarterbacks, especially when, the quarterbacks lead them to the playoffs and beat their rivals, go 11-5, and pretty much, improve over the season. Are you kind of surprised that they kind of just don't concede and just say, hey, we're working on a contract extension and we think we can get it done? Or are you kind of surprised that you just kind of really close mouth on that situation?
No, I'm not really surprised about that. I've been writing consistently all along that I think some of these other things are cautionary tales. And even though Andrew Berry said yesterday that, specifically the Carson Wentz trade was not a cautionary tale, I still firmly believe that those things are something that have to give them pause. The Carson Wentz situation, the Jared Goff situation, Deshaun Watson. I've pointed this out several times, and it is something to really take note of. Three of the last four quarterbacks who have signed their extensions as soon as they can are no longer either with their team or want out. The only one still in good standing is Patrick Mahomes at $45 million a year. So there is a lot of wisdom in waiting, and I think they are still kind of debating what they want to do here. I don't think it's a situation where they have decided 100% that they are giving Baker this extension this particular offseason. And I actually think that it's probably prudent to give this some long and hard thought.
Mary Kay, does it matter to you at all about the television deal and how that is going to change the finances for each and every team around the NFL, what that could do to the salary cap and how that might steer agents and players into waiting to get the big money after that?
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, Baker can he can bet on himself this year. This is a season in which the salary cap might fall to probably somewhere around $185 million, which is down from about $210 million, what it was going to be this year. And so I think it would behoove some players to wait to bet on themselves and cash in with some of the big bucks that could be coming down the pike after this offseason. So if he believes in himself, and he does, we all know that, then, you know, it might be better for him to go out and have one really good full season, which he really hasn't been able to do that yet, string together, you know, a really solid 16-game season, and then go out and really get paid.
Mary Kay, one other thing on this. How much of the decision-making should be dependent on the fact that not only did they have a winning record, they made the playoffs, they won a playoff game, and he played pretty well in those playoff games. Should that factor into the decision-making? I mean, I've seen other quarterbacks way worse than Baker win playoff games before. We've seen Blake Bortles, Brock Osweiler, TJ Yates. I mean, I have the whole list. I'm just wondering how much of it should matter to these guys making the decisions within the Browns.
Yeah, I definitely think that that factors into the decision-making process for sure, and they will take that into account. And Andrew Berry even talked about that yesterday, how, you know, he's happy not to be riding the quarterback carousel right now and that they've got their guy. They do feel that way. But that doesn't mean that you have to do the extension this offseason. It also doesn't mean that they won't, but I've noted before that Ryan Grigson and Andrew Berry – Ryan Grigson, the former GM of the Colts, who's now helping Andrew Berry here as a senior advisor. Those guys were in Indianapolis when they decided to wait on the extension for Andrew Luck until after his fourth season. And, you know, there's really no shame in that. And I think the players understand that also this is a business. These are economic decisions. I mean, you have to give up those signing bonuses right away, that upfront money when you make those extensions, even though the base salaries don't usually kick in, and you know, for a couple of years in the new money, you do have to fork over those enormous signing bonuses. So that's another thing to consider. But you know, just kind of seeing how the next year goes, seeing how well he does in the second year in Kevin Stefanski's system is at least something to think about.
You know, Mary Kay, one of the things we talked about a little bit earlier on the show was this thought process of, you know, we got Baker on one end, we got Nick Chubb on the other end. And when you look at it, you know, Derrick Henry's been paid. You got Todd Gurley that's gotten some money. Alvin Kamara has gotten some money. Even Christian McCaffrey has gotten money. So you look at it, and, you know, Nick Chubb is a guy with one less year under service because of being a second-round pick. Do they got enough to pay both of them? Do they got enough to give Baker a really like a top five contract due to the market value? And do they have enough to pay Nick Chubb a contract that is worth a top five running back?
Well, these are big decisions that they have to make. And that is why some of the timing of it also comes into play. Because with Nick Chubb, you can't sign him to that. You can't exercise a fifth-year option, obviously, for Nick Chubb because he wasn't a first-round pick that year. So, you know, he is going into his last year, and you won't have his rights the following season like you can with Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward. You can pick up those fifth-year options and buy yourself some time. With Nick, he's just point-blank going into his final year of his contract. So you will have to make a decision on that. And that decision will either be start talking some contract, figure out a creative way to get it done, perhaps with some incentives and things like that, or possibly possibly let it expire and then franchise him after that. That's another way to do it. I don't know that they would go that route. I think ideally they would probably rather sign him to an extension before it gets to that point. But that is also another option that they have.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. David Njoku has been brought up so often, especially on this show over the last few years. Very clearly was somebody who last offseason was ready to move on, hired a new agent, and then they didn't budge. They didn't do anything. And then he goes through the year, has a nice finish to the year. His numbers, you know, he kind of lost in the shuffle there for most of the season and had an injury, but where do you think the Browns are? I know what they said yesterday about Njoku and how talented he is. Where do you think they really are on Njoku?
Well, I think this is a tricky one. This is a tricky circumstance because you have a player that they feel that they have good value in the player, that he can go out there and that he can perform well for them on the football field, and that they believe that he is worth the $6.013 million that he's due this season under his fifth-year option. Now, the difference between his fifth-year option, and I know this gets complicated, but under the new CBA, the minute that they exercise the ones for Baker and Denzel, they'll be guaranteed. Not so with David. David's not becoming guaranteed until the first day of the league year this year on March 17th. So they have a couple of weeks to make a decision. Do they want to let that contract guarantee and move forward with him, not knowing if he really is all in or wants to be here, or do they want to see if they can get something for him or figure out another plan? I actually think at this point, if he doesn't 100% want to be here, isn't all in, and you know, just really would rather be somewhere else, I don't know that that's the kind of energy that I want on my team. But by the same token, you know, Andrew Berry can't really be letting players dictate how what their futures are. That doesn't send the right message. He can't have guys, you know, going to Jim Rome and saying, I don't want to be here, and then forcing his hand. So I think that's another factor here, is that he has to make sure that these guys know that you can't just kind of talk your way out of town.
Do you believe Von Miller has a chance to get cut? We crossed our fingers on the J.J. Watt situation. Now we're kind of on to the next one. We do need some upgrades. We've talked about some big-name people. You've spoken about Levante David. I don't know if that may be something that's on the table, because obviously he's in Tampa Bay. I don't know what their cap situation may be. But when we're talking about it, do you think Von Miller might get cut in Denver, and that might be somebody the Browns can look at?
Yeah, I think so. I absolutely think that he is on the radar. He fits that profile of the very, very productive edge rusher that they're looking for. And why do we know that? Because they went after Jadeveon Clowney last year. They went after J.J. Watt this year. They went after Yannick Ngakoue last year. So therefore, you have to put Von Miller on the radar if he becomes available. And you have to put everybody else in that category on the radar, too. So I think they will vet and look at all of those kinds of guys. And once again, they don't come cheap. You know, they're not going to want to pay a player in that age range, once again, about 32 years old, much more than $11 or $12 million a year. So if somebody else is willing to top that significantly, it's not going to happen. Then you start to look at the younger guys. I'm intrigued by, you know, the Carl Lawsons and some of those guys that are more in the 25, 26-year-old age range that you also might be able to get for a little bit less than Carl Lawson has a chance perhaps to get franchised by the Bengals. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. But you might be able to get a Carl Lawson in the 12, 13, $14 million range too. So they have some options, and I think they will probably end up with one of these guys.
I know it's going to be tough to ever sift through actual truth when it comes to this, but so many different reports about what the Browns offered Watt, why Watt chose to end up in the desert like he did. What do you think the Browns, your best guess as to how competitive they were with that offer?
Well, I think they were fairly competitive. I think they probably offered somewhere around the $12 million range. And I know that they did not offer more than Arizona offered. So I'm guessing it was probably consistent with what they've done for players in that career range, that age range. I would say it was probably around 12. They were probably competitive. And I know that I had been told all the way up until Friday that he was considering the Browns for all the reasons that we've been talking about, the quarterback, the supporting cast, the ability to possibly go to the Super Bowl. So I think that's good, that players are looking at the Cleveland situation as an attractive one.
Mary Kay, one more thing. We started the show today early in the segment. This is why you always have to use the rewind function on the radio.com app. Jim Boeheim went after a reporter over a question and went after the reporter's height, said that the reporter's 5'2", clearly hasn't played basketball ever. And I wanted to ask you, because I've always been enamored, Mary Kay, with the fact that you don't allow that type of intimidation. And I imagine, given who you are and your credibility over the years, for anybody to target you in a back and forth like that would be shameful. What would be your thoughts when you see somebody like Jim Boeheim go after a reporter for their height?
Well, you must remember that my first 5 years on the beat, I covered Bill Belichick, and I was, you know, I was the main beat writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, kind of going head to head every single day with Bill Belichick. So that's how I got started, and you know, he was a difficult coach to cover. I mean, he just was. There's just no way to slice that. And there have been others along the way. But I think I'm at that point now where I probably wouldn't – I would probably say something right in the moment. I mean, I have almost said something in the moment even over the last couple of years because, you know, when you're getting called out like that publicly and, you know, now on a Zoom and things like that, I do think that I didn't hear that particular situation, so I'll go back and listen to it. But, you know, I just don't think that you can sit there and take that kind of verbal abuse. And, you know, there could be a time where I actually answer right back to something like that in the moment.
I can't wait for Mary Kay to dish the goods one of these days, to go off. I'm waiting for Mary Kay to go off.
Well, you know, there were a couple of times with Freddie Kitchens where he deserved that from me. And I kind of bit my tongue and I was trying to handle it through the proper channels where I would say to him, you know, where I would actually say, hey, let's kind of talk this through. Let's go talk in the hallway for a second and make sure that we can talk, you know, coach to reporter and do this professionally. And he always refused to do that. So
really?
The next time he came at me, he was probably going to get a little bit of a response.
I think that is some insecurity there. I mean, your coach, even Pat Shurmur, we've told the story. Pat Shurmur even brought in a bunch of media members to just have an open dialogue because he knew he was getting ridiculed. He knew he was getting poked fun at, and he wanted to sit down when he came back that next year and just have a normal conversation and be a human. I respect that. Even if it didn't go anywhere and didn't mean anything, I still respect that. Why can't there be decorum, Mary Kay?
Well, there should be. I mean, we have to work together every single day. And I've had to have situations like that over the years where you just talk it out professionally. And that's the way that it should be done. This shouldn't happen in a way where anyone's getting ridiculed publicly on a Zoom or in a press conference.
I appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next time.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the tell-all, the Mary Kay Cabot tell-all book. We need to find a publisher now. Appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There she is, Mary Kay Cabot. All right, lots to react to there also. When a high school score is 104-1 at halftime, should somebody get punished? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.